listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job here on LA Talk Radio. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and you are joining me today. And my dear friend, amazing, awesome guy, known for the BAM, Brandon Maslin, and Elizabeth Rosenberg, who we're going to introduce you to here in a moment. In case this is the first time for you to tune in to Get Yourself the Job, give you a quick 100,000-foot view overview is this show started back in 2016 and began with resume writing tips and interviewing tips. And over the last 4 years, it's really morphed into more of a how to fulfill your purpose. How do you find your dream job, keep your dream job, and find general happiness in life? I think that's kind of a life goal for a lot of us. And the show wouldn't be possible if it weren't for our incredible sponsors, the people over at Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary payrolling services and executive search. So please do keep them in mind. And without further ado, Brandon, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce us to our phenomenal guest today, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it. Elizabeth is someone who got connected to me actually by my wife, and I do a lot of good things. We're going to talk about listening today, and I tend to, when I'm smart, listen to my wife, who is a brilliant, incredible executive, just had a banner day, and she works at an incredible company at DoorDash, so get your food from DoorDash as my plug. So she connected me with Elizabeth, and I'm so glad she did. Elizabeth, I've already connected Elizabeth to two of the top leaders in their field in the world that I know. She connected me with an amazing coach. And I think that I find the connectors in the world. Those are the people that I'm drawn to. And Elizabeth certainly is one. So more than that, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is the founder of the Good Advice Company. I mean, right there, that tells you everything you need to know about what we're going to learn today. She's a marketing and communications expert. She coaches agencies, brands, and C-suite leaders on global strategies. She's the embodiment, I love this, of a true new global PR and marketing executive. I like to think my wife is too, maybe. And I can go on and on, but I'm going to kick it over to her. She's an entrepreneur. She's incredible. She can give you her life story as we go. She's some really iconic organizations become more iconic, and iconic people become more iconic as well. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It always sounds so much fancier when somebody else introduces you.
Yeah. I mean, deserved. It is.
Thank you. I always hate it.
Whenever, I don't know about you, but whenever someone compliments me, I mean, I'm great. I'm great. I am great at making other people feel good. I'm gonna embody it. It's what we do.
It's what us connectors do.
No, it is. And if someone at the very end, after I've said a million nice things, and I appreciate them, they're incredible and they're transformative. If they even say one thing about me, I stutter, I get uncomfortable, and I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta go. Like, it just, no. I mean, it really, does anyone else suffer with that? Because I'm really bad at taking any comment or feedback in a positive way and accepting it.
I think all of us are. And thank you again for that lovely introduction. I think the best way that I like to kind of describe myself is that I'm a marketing and communications consultant. That's just what I do for a living, not necessarily who I am. I'm a volunteer. I am a mentor. And kind of pre-show, as Brandon and Jennifer and I were talking, they asked me really what I like to talk about. And I really, and this is going to sound crazy, but I love giving counsel and good advice regarding combating burnout. And if you've already gone through burnout, which I'm happy to tell my story about too, ways of getting through recovery on that too. So I think the last year has been really hard for, last 2 years now at this point, have been really hard for all of us trying to, if you're a parent trying to raise kids, but also be a, you know, a chef, a cleaner, a chauffeur, in addition to having a job and or trying to find that job that you're really looking for that brings you the fulfillment that you're needing. So any way that I can bring any insight to that, I would be happy to.
Yeah, thank you for your vulnerability, Elizabeth. I think it's something that we just assume that we're all super people, right? And we're like, we're not going to talk about it. Let's just sweep it under the rug and push down and keep on trucking, because that's what we're taught to do. And I think it's important to acknowledge that it's okay. You know, as Brandon knows, and some of you tuning in might be aware of, I love to look at the, you know, the energy of everything, the energy of us as human beings, the quantum physics side. I also host a show on Awake TV called Conversations for Consciousness. And there's this email that I get every month called the Power Path Report. And if you thought burnout was hard in the last year or 2 years, the Power Path Report had a lovely forecast for the month of October saying, well, there might be a little sprinkling of blame and throw in some resentment and some stormy weather. So kind of be prepared. So I think I shared with everybody last week on the show, got my butt handed to me and just was like, wow. You know, sometimes you just feel like, I just can't do it. Being a human, being just being, can be challenging. And so what if that's prolonged? What if it's not just a forecast for 1 month? What if it's 6 months, 6 years, 60 years? How do we do it? What are the signs first? Maybe start with that, Elizabeth, and then let's talk about what are the remedies for it?
Yeah, I mean, I can start with my story. I mean, I was working, as Brandon mentioned, I've worked with some really amazing, incredible brands that you have in your homes. And I was the global head of communications for a very large agency. And I think I want to start off saying, like, I actually loved my job. I think a lot of people think that you can only get burnout if you hate your job and you've been working for 20 years. You can get burnout if you really love your job and you've been working for 6 months. I also want to state that, like, I was 100% responsible for my burnout. No one was forcing me to work as hard as I was doing. No one was expecting more out of me than I was giving. I have this innate need to work way harder than I need to. And that's something I've worked on. But while I was loving my job, I was working probably 70 hours a week. I ended up in the hospital with a migraine where I lost all of my motor skills. They thought that I was either having a stroke or that I was having a really severe drug overdose. I ended up finally, once I could talk and kind of get to my senses, telling them that I had a migraine, and they were like, oh, okay. I had suffered from migraines my entire life. So I think also to all those billions of migraine sufferers out there, I feel you. I mean, there's so many triggers and so many things that go into that in addition to working too much. But that was just kind of the beginning of me really starting to recognize what was important in my life, but also how to really start listening to both, or, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually where I was at. And what I needed and what I needed to start saying no to.
So you mentioned that it wasn't necessarily the environment. It was this internal pressure you're putting on yourself.
100%. I loved my job. I really like my job, but there are days when I know that I am working too hard. And the reality is we're never going to get all of the things done in a day, ever. It's just not possible. There's just not enough time in the day. And honestly, sometimes there are days where you just need to, like, turn everything off, take a walk and watch Netflix and just chill. Sometimes we need those, but giving ourselves permission to take those days is the hard part, right? Because then it's just, then the next day that you come back, your list is just longer. We're on a professional hamster wheel, and we need to figure out when to say, I've had enough. And then also, you know, the reality is too, there are days where you have to push through and that you need to get things done. So I'm really in between those two worlds. It's real tough.
I'm going to play devil's advocate with you here for a moment, Elizabeth, please. Because I agree with you that absolutely, you know, there are times where you have to power through. And I'm reflecting last week when I knew I was having a very challenging week in particular. You know, I'm on back-to-back business calls, working on this new startup. And one day I get a call and I know, I'm like, got to push through. We got, you know, this MVP to get out, got to do it. And I get a call and I was a bit of a jerk. And I apologies to my co-founder Moon. I was just dismissive about something that mattered to her. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, when does it actually create harm when we push through for ourselves or others? Like, it then creates residual harm because, God forbid, we say something we don't mean because we're already spread so thin and then we're reactive. There's so many repercussions that are not just in that moment or that day, but that kind of ripple out throughout our lives. So how do you find that balance between saying, "Ah, oh, God, I got to get this report out or finish this call," and saying, yeah, "You know, maybe I just need to say I should skip this call today"?
For me, it's trial and error, in all honesty. I think the other thing that we all have to remember, and I post about this on LinkedIn on a regular basis, is that we all always have something else going on in our lives that we are not telling someone. Always. And always assume that somebody else who you're speaking with has something else going on in their lives that they're not telling you. So I think that we have to have some grace around how reactive we are, because a lot of the time it has nothing to do with something that was said to you, or it has nothing to do with what you said to someone. And if we can all keep that in mind, it really does make things a lot easier. Now, the reality is everyone keeping that in mind all the time? No. But as Brandon and I have discussed, I mean, I've been working with an executive coach for, I want to say, 6 years at this point. And coaching was the most pivotal thing in my life, both on a personal front and on a business front. It really allowed me to kind of take inventory of what brings me happiness, what my purpose is, what I really don't want to do, but also just like interpersonally, how to work with other leaders who have a lot of other stuff going on. But again, it's really, I mean, I hate to say this, it is a lot of trial and error. I don't think we're, and you're always on that journey. I don't think we're always going to get it right. And having grace with yourself about not getting it right is the most important thing.
How has this helped you in your career? Because it does sound like, even though you liked your job at that really impressive big agency, you know, your career was the thing that was taking up a lot of that pressure, right? And so how has your career shifted, whether it's working with a coach or what have you, as you've removed, like, what changed? What happened?
I mean, I'd say a lot of things changed. I think going from that job into another job, I knew that I needed a team. I knew that I needed a support system. I knew what I was looking for. I also knew that I needed more coaching, and asked for that. You negotiate things in. We can have an entire conversation about that on the other end. But I also think that once I was in that job, and once I was really into this like deep kind of personal and executive coaching of really trying to figure out what I liked and what I didn't like, what I thought I wanted my job to be is totally not what my job is now. And I think that we always have to remember that we are a work in progress. We are always evolving. I 2 years ago thought I wanted to be the CMO of a VC so I could come in and help startup brands in their marketing. I still do that on the side, but that I know for a fact is not my calling for my full-time job. So it's weird to think that in 2 years and in my 40s, what I thought I wanted has changed so drastically. And I think for some people, making a list of what they want and then other people making a list of what they don't want are two very different tracks.
Yeah.
But oftentimes they get you to the right place.
I really identify with the not want, right? I mean, I think it's a little different for me, but that always helped me. And it was started a lot. It was really conflicting. I was finding my way. And I think a lot of people deal with this is I don't want that. I don't, you know, people would say, go back to law school, do whatever. I mean, go back to being a lawyer. That's the only thing. Once you were a lawyer, the only thing anyone could ever think of for me was go back to being a lawyer. No one could understand possibly. Never mind that I was miserable and burning out and having my experiences. But you know, I saw this woman one time, Tam Akeve, say this, and I really identified this comment, which is sometimes though having too many passions, I have this little thing right behind me, do a passion or not at all. But having too many passions is a blessing, but it can feel like a curse because there's so many things I want to do, so many things. And when you have that, it's almost suffocating. So how do people narrow it down so that, because what I'm hearing you also say is that when you find your calling, when you do what you're meant to do, that is one of the greatest cures to avoiding burnout. Is that correct?
I would love to say yes.
No, tell me. I think
that's what we hope for, right? Is if we really love what we're doing, that that it just feels easy. And I think in a lot of ways it does. But I went from the safety and security of being in a large company to being an entrepreneur again and starting, and kind of the pressures of that are so different. But I also really, really love what I do. But in the last year, what I do has even changed, and what my offerings are have even changed according to what I want to do and what I don't really love doing. And that brings additional stresses. I mean, I had a girlfriend call me the other day and she's like, your hands are in way too many things. And from my work to this book that I'm working on, to, you know, my side hustles, to my volunteer work, to like, I mean, I am on the verge, or was on the verge of burning out before somebody else could call it out to me. So I also think you need to be surrounded by people who feel comfortable giving you the heads up that potentially is happening. It is possible to have your hand in too many things, but if you are an entrepreneur and you are kind of a go-getter, it's hard not to, because that's also what fuels you, right? It's what brings you that creative drive is also what kind of just really makes you happy. So I'm still trying to find the happy medium in that. I know I will one day, but I also know that I get so much joy out of working and out of creating and out of meeting new people, that taking that away from me would be really hard too.
Yeah. So let's talk for a moment, because I really would love to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to burnout. Like in your case, for example, Elizabeth, you find yourself in the hospital and you're like, oh, shoot, I guess I'm burned out. You know, whoops, that happened. What are the five things that happen maybe before burnout that are the key indicators? It's like, yeah, green. Okay, it's turning a little yellow. Red, stop. You know, what are the things that we could bring our awareness to so that before we get to that hard red of, God forbid, something physical or otherwise psychological happens, that we're able to take preventative, proactive measures to support ourselves and others with their well-being?
I mean, I don't know if there are five things, because again, I really separate these into like the quadrants of physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental overall well-being. For me, I was getting a series of migraines on a regular basis. Emotionally, I was very reactive and kind of like F that person to to the people around me. Never a good sign. Physically, I was not sleeping well. And I think that is, I mean, I think that, didn't they call it pandemic somnia, that like everybody in the last year has had so many issues sleeping, and we forget how important that is. So I think everyone has triggers. I think the most important thing is listening to them and seeing them. The issue with burnout though is you really have like a smokescreen on so much of that. But the reality is, again, like when you're working 60 hours a week, when you're working 50 hours a week, when you're working overtime, you need to put into perspective that you will burn out at some point. Are you finding times to do the things that you actually love to do that are recharging your battery versus just emptying it? And I noticed, especially while we were in lockdown, the only thing that was really keeping me sane was physical exercise. I was stress walking all over Los Angeles. And as all Angelinos know, we don't walk anywhere. So it was such a different, it was something different for me, but it really was something that just kind of like kept me moving. But I mean, I have a lot of tips in regards to managing people for burnout, and also like being managed for burnout. I think that we have not created any safe spaces for people to ask for mental health needs. I actually just posted a story on my LinkedIn about in January of 2019, I walked into my boss's office. I'm very lucky that he's a very empathetic, kind leader, but pretty much said to him, I am burning out. I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. I really haven't taken a vacation in about 20 years of working. I need a month off. If you can't do that, I totally understand. But I'd like to take August off, and which is a pretty kind of like dead advertising month anyway. If you can't do that, July 31st will be my last day. And he looked at me and said, "You're not quitting. We will figure this out." And they did. But I was in a space where I, A, was willing to walk away from a job because I knew that I needed it. And B, I felt comfortable speaking to my boss about my mental health needs.
Yeah. And you weren't saying anything inauthentic. It was
the truth.
And
yeah.
So I find that when we are authentic, as you point out, we can get someone to love us or hate us, usually and rarely in between. And I like that you're tying this all back into listening. You were listening to yourself, and therefore you were either going to express it and the person was going to be able to listen to you, or they weren't. I think we should all have that. We don't all have that luxury, but it would be nice if we all had that with our managers or our bosses. We certainly need it with, we don't always have it with our spouses or our friends or our parents, but part of it is because we don't listen to ourselves. And so one of the things that you mentioned was talking. I certainly did that a lot in Los Angeles as well. I bet Jennifer did too. One of the things, I would go out to Duck Pond. It's up on Mulholland Drive. And I would just walk. And the thing I would do is I'd leave my phone in the car because I was just checking my phone. Is that job calling me? Is this in between jobs? Is anyone getting back to me for the career? And I would leave everything behind and I would walk until I have an epiphany. And sometimes it was 15 minutes. Sometimes it was, I think I walked for 4 hours one time. And whenever it happened, and one of the things that happened was I realized that in the industry I was trying to get a job in, I was trying to feed ducks one time. And I didn't have anything on me. I ran out of food, but it didn't matter. Every time I put my hand up, the ducks and fish would come to the water. And I realized like that was like the industry I was trying to get into. No one had anything to give me, but they were pretending. And I was like, fuck this. And I found my life's calling. Non sequitur, just a fun little breakthrough. Go ahead.
On the tech side, and that's something, again, that is a huge, huge tip. I do not sleep with my phone in my room. As of 10 p.m., it's in the living room, 7 a.m., the do not disturb goes off. I also have turned off all social media notifications. I've actually removed most of my social media from my phone. It is literally like going through rehab when you do it, I imagine. It's just this withdrawal of needing to be connected at all times. I also think that while iMessage and, you know, Google Chat and Slack are an amazing tool for work, they are unbelievably hazardous to our mental health in off hours. And the noises that they make are so addictive. So turning those off, off your phone is a game changer. But again, like you have to be, I know that I speak so much of this from a place of privilege because you have to be at a place in your company where that culture is okay. And as leaders, we need to make that okay. And as people who are being managed and in workforce, we have to demand that of our leaders. The way that we're working right now is just not sustainable. It just won't, the future won't work.
Yeah, I so love what you're sharing, Elizabeth. I know for me personally, I find the noises of all of those alerts so abrasive that I kid you not, every single alert on my phone is turned off. So I am only interacting with you if I choose to interact with you because I intentionally went to that email or WhatsApp or iChat. And I wanted to build upon what Brandon said about the duck pond walk. Is one of the things that I've noticed that can be really powerful. Dear friend of mine, Sister Jenna with the Brahma Kumaris, taught me this technique, as did Deepak Chopra, of silence. You know, Deepak does a week of silence twice a month or twice a year, which good for him that he does that. And Sister Jenna was mentioning that in her organization, the Brahma Kumaris, they actually have at the top of every hour 3 minutes of silence that everybody just stops what you're doing. And it's in that moment where we pause that we can listen, we can hear what we need. Because let's be honest, when we wind up being fired, hating our job, getting burnout, we have been getting a soft little knock. At first, it's like a very faint knock and it's like, ding, ding, ding. Hi, you're not happy. And then all of a sudden it's like, and then it's banging until finally you have this ogre whacking you on the wall and literally physically removes you and drops you, God forbid, either out of the job into the hospital. And it's when we take these moments of silence, maybe it's 1 minute once a day. I personally just redid it. I like to do once a month, a day of silence and no cell phone. I mean, start with one or the other. It can be a little intense if you've never done it before. Start with 1 minute, 20 minutes, an hour, like Brandon was suggesting, and just leave your phone somewhere and just give yourself permission to be in a state of peace. I think that's the greatest gift that we can give ourselves that would prevent burnout.
I think that's great advice. And I love starting, I used to start my meetings with an emotional check-in on a scale of 1 to 5. And it goes back to you also saying, you know, being really reactive in a moment, knowing that everybody has something going on. We would start the meeting, how's everybody doing? You'd go around the room 1 through 5. There was never any questions about if you were at a 1 or if you were at a 5. But if you were at a 1, I knew not to expect a whole lot from you. If you were at a 1 all the time, then we would have a discussion about it. But there were days when people would come in having a good day and having a bad day. I also think for leaders and the workforce, there are so many amazing new mental health resources out there, whether it is Zoom therapy, hourly like talk space that you can go into. As a workforce, we need to ask for that time. I was managing a team of 14. Every single solitary person on my team was in therapy. I just gave them boundaries around when that would work with our team schedule. Mm-hmm. But I knew, and I got to tell you, my team was rolling like clockwork because everyone was working on their personal and professional stuff when Boom. They needed it. Yeah, it's great.
In their careers, and the company mm-hmm. was doing better because they work on the personal professional stuff, not bringing it into the office. And I think that is so important that this is not personal or career. This is both. I do a lot of work in gaming with a lot of the game industry, some of the major companies. And I just got off a call from a brilliant engineer. I don't know why. I just thought this would be so cool. If the world, we could go around, you know, a lot of these games have health bars, like, you know, and if you get down to a certain level, you're in danger area. And if we all just had like health bars above us, like, mental health day of 10, do not touch. I will fall over or I will attack you. Like I'll go red zone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing we can create. I'll ask my gaming folks. And I talked to one of my favorite people in the world who's the head of people at a gaming company. And they've been shifting from coaching to mental health. They have been changing it. And I was talking to another people leader and they could not get their CEO to understand that people needed. And I said, instead of saying time off, just say mental health, see what happens. And they went and they told the CEO and game changer. Because everyone understands mental health. It is health, period. So I think that's great. Jennifer, I saw you clapping, by the way, earlier when Elizabeth was saying something. So go ahead.
I just got a really key insight that I want to share with everybody just to bring awareness to it. And that's the idea that some of us don't know what emotions we're processing. I think that's one of the greatest things that undercuts us is that we don't realize we're depressed. We don't realize we're sad or angry. And I was writing down, Elizabeth, as you said, the 1 to 5 thing, and I literally just texted it to my business partner in the middle of this. I'm like, most brilliant thing I've ever heard. Can we institute this right away? Because it can save so much heartache. And if you're not good with self-identifying, do you have any tools that you would recommend, perhaps, Elizabeth, to check in? Like if you're not used to maybe culturally or in your family or with all the people you've worked with, it's not been socially acceptable to express how you're feeling. How can you support people where it's not normally accepted to say, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling this, or I'm not feeling 100%? How do you empower people to express that or be able to share that in some way, whether it's the 1 to 5 or something else?
I mean, I think it's hard individually because you're right. Everybody is different on how they feel and how they can express those feelings. Making it a team activity without any expectations really did make it significantly easier. I mean, I had a global team, and everybody kind of came from different walks of life, and it seemed to work for us. I think the other thing that I did too as a manager, which was so left field and something that no one else in our office was doing, but at the beginning of the year, I would have everybody take their like love language, like work appreciation test. And everybody on my team felt appreciated in different ways. Everything from quality time to, you know, physical touch to gifts to, I mean, it was, you know, words of affirmation. I mean, everybody needed different ways of being appreciated. Knowing those and knowing how my team needed to feel loved was a game changer. Because, I mean, I remember one of my bosses at one point just being like, just give everybody a $5 Starbucks card. I'm like, if you gave me a $5 Starbucks card, like that would mean zero to me. Like, I need you to tell me that I'm great. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm words of affirmation and acts of service. Like, come on.
Elizabeth, funny enough, we had an expert. We have an episode where we had an expert who wrote, you know, contributed to a book and wrote a book on this, right, Jennifer?
Dr. Paul White. So Dr. Paul White co-wrote a book with Gary Chapman, and it's called Appreciation at Work. So if you check back, I think the episode, it may have been, I want to say in August, in our month where we focused on how to increase our emotional quotient. So we're like,
high praise. It's the best.
So what can people do? Let's talk about an interview for a second. Mm-hmm. You're at a one. You're going in for an interview. What do you do?
Cancel the interview. I'm just saying.
Well, it's hard though, because I think if you oftentimes you cancel the interview, you might not get it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I've gotten some of the best jobs I've ever had when I was a one. Honestly, just coming in being like, look, I got nothing on the tank. I'm tired. Here's my cards. And the people are like, that was weird, but I like you. You know? So I don't know. Sometimes you get the most authentic version of someone at one. It might be everyone maybe should interview at one, because in a weird way, that's what person's going to be like on their worst day. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I mean, it's so funny, because like for me, I'd be like, you know, I'd power pose in the corner for 30 seconds and then turn it around and, you know, try to make magic happen. But to your point, I actually think that authenticity around that is unbelievably important. So, and if somebody doesn't want the authentic you, I mean, it's probably a job that you don't want to be at, right? So I think if you go into it and you say, I just want to let you know, I've had a really, you know, rough personal day with some stuff going on. If I seem a little distracted, that is why, but I'm fully invested in this job. I'm fully invested in this opportunity. And if I don't give you the answers that I need today, I'd love to chat with you more afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's important, Jennifer. When I would imagine as an expert recruiter who's placed thousands of people, one of the reasons you don't, to Elizabeth's point, that you don't, the one, is that's not necessarily our authentic selves either. That's us at our lowest. Is that right, Jennifer, as well?
I was saying that more reactively than anything. Ironically, right before this, I had an interview with an important thought leader that's airing next week on Awake. And right before that, I just went through one of the least productive meetings I think I've ever had, where the person literally said, I don't want to work with you both. And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, there's clearly a lesson in this. And then 20 minutes later, I have a very important interview. And it, ironically, to your point, Brandon and Elizabeth, it wound up being one of my favorite interviews that I had ever done. And there was a part of me that was tempted to cancel it. And I think that, you know, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to call it, when we fall, when we just eat pavement and our face is like covered in dirt and we're just grimy, if you have the courage to show up and not show up, I think this is the key with the one. This would be my critical differentiator for here, if you're feeling at a one level. If you're a one and you can pick yourself up, go to the power pose in the corner that Elizabeth just suggested. Just look at the silver lining, say, I don't know why this just happened. I am 1000% certain though that somehow it's meant for me to have this be a good thing that I can't quite see in this moment. If you're able to come from that perspective at a level one and pull yourself out of the mud, you will be able to do greater miracles. You'll be like Moses parting the Red Sea. However, if you're at a level one and you're still at a level one, you're heading towards a 0.0 or 0.5, that's when it's like, listen, I'm not being able to drag myself out of this in time. And if you go in with a victim mentality and you say, oh, this jerk I just got off the phone with, they're an a-hole, they ruined my day, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. So the question is, are you a one heading towards a 1.1 or are you a one heading towards a 0.9?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And I think that's right. Then that's a great insight that will be reactive and it won't be. Whatever the person says, we're going to be spinning it through our negative cycle. Amy Cuddy's power poses aside. Elizabeth, that's a good question, buddy. How can we get ourselves in a relatively short period, let's give it a week, from a 1 to a 5? What can we do?
Again, I think that's so personal to whatever your journey is. One of the things I hate the most, or my biggest pet peeves, is when something's going on in your life and somebody says to you, oh my God, you have to do this. It will change your life. It will be so great for you. Yeah. And it's funny because I actually think that meditation is one of those things that people say often, just meditate. And it's like, meditation is not the silver bullet for everyone, right? It's not always going to make everyone feel better. I'm an unbelievably spiritual person who's tapped into her intuitive truth. I can't meditate for long periods of time, come in and out. And there's other things that have like super helped me and other things that have not helped me at all. I think everyone is on their own journey of what works for them and what doesn't. Some people need to go box and hit things. I tell my trainer every week, I'll text it. He'll be like, where are you today? What's going on? And I was like, I need to throw things today. And he was like, great, we're going to throw things today. Let's do it. Let's get a little aggression out. You never know what's going to work for you and what's not. So again, I think it has a little bit to do with self-awareness, but I also think it has a lot to do with where you are on your journey of finding that dream job, of finding your purpose, of finding your joy, but also finding some kind of, I like to call it more of like a balancing act, because I actually don't believe in work-life balance. I think it's a very it's a phrase that I don't really think should exist in the world. I think it's not possible.
Can I give another one, which I love?
Yeah.
Work-life harmony, which means the way a guitar works is if you strum one chord, the others, you're never not playing all the chords at once. You just might be playing one card louder. And so
somebody told me that the other day. I think it's a great phrase. It's interesting. Yeah.
All right, guys. Can I throw something in there that I think could work for anybody, no matter who you are, anytime? So I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to go out there, and I have to give credit where credit's due. Alison Armstrong taught this to me. She studied men and women, and specifically partnership, for 30 years, figuring out what has us be able to partner in business, romantically, friendships. And one of the things that she said is, know what fills your own bucket. The reason we hit burnout is our buckets are gone. Somebody comes to the well and they're trying to scoop out, and they might even have a teaspoon and you don't have a teaspoon to give. So if you know, in your case, Brandon, that filling your bucket is the walk around the pond with the dog or with the ducks, or playing with your daughter, or doing the things that light you up, most of us don't have the wherewithal when we're spiraling down that burnout cycle of thinking of it. So my favorite thing that I learned from Allison is to have a list on your phone. Keep it on your phone, in your wallet. 5 things that fill your bucket. It might be a bath. It might be watching a show that makes you giggle. It might be eating ice cream. That is, eating ice cream and dancing are right up there on the top of my list. No matter how crappy I'm feeling, give me ice cream cone and a good music to dance to, and all of a sudden I've just lightened up. So know what it is. And then the great thing is, you're not relying on your boss, on your spouse, on your children to fulfill that hole in you, because you just filled it up yourself.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm going to go watch a show in a bath while eating ice cream, because those are all of my things. I agree. And I think one of the things that I would add to this is, for me, as much as is that individual thing I can do, it's often that when I'm in my greatest pain, especially in career, I want to talk to someone who can identify with that pain. I worked at a really unique company where the person that led the company was so unique, so different, so indefinable, that you would get this advice from other people who didn't work there, and it wouldn't work time and again. It was great advice, good advice, never worked. And it became my reality. And I would get so mad at the person who gave the advice, whether it was a therapist, a coach, or a friend, that I stopped asking anyone for advice, because I would just be mad at them. And the secret was not to talk to anyone who didn't work at that company. But once I identified with people who could identify my pain, even if their advice didn't work, I at least felt less alone, less like a failure, that I couldn't change this environment, which also then allowed me to realize that it's probably not about me as much as I'm internalizing it. And so often we internalize in our career, a negative manager, negative boss, we internalize all these things that are ultimately not about us. Those people may be the people, sadly, that walk through their life at a one as it relates to their own demons or their own pain. And they just aren't taking the steps to get healthy. So Elizabeth, good advice company. I mean, couldn't think of a better title for a company and for you, my friend. So what good advice, before we let you go, can you give the audience as it relates to our career, avoiding burnout or anything else? The floor is yours.
As it relates to burnout, I think listening to your own body and then asking for what you need. Don't be scared to ask, and also help normalize asking for your mental health needs. The more that we ask, the more that we will get back in return. I also think finding people that are in a similar situation that you're in. I posted my story on Medium and I got hundreds of emails from people that thanked me for telling my story because finally they didn't feel so alone that they were burning out. So I think sharing your stories and being authentic about that is unbelievably important. And then going back to listening, I know as we discussed, the best advice I've ever received, and the first piece of advice that I normally give people when you're starting a new job is to talk less and listen more. I think especially when women hear that, it's hard to hear that advice. But for me, it was the thing that changed my ability to make an impact in the new job that I was in. Instead of coming in and thinking I was great and trying to change things immediately, just feel it out a little bit. It's like going to a party and taking a lap around the room before you commit to a location. Listen, see, get a vibe for who everybody is and kind of what their role is. And then when you do start to give counsel and do start to really act like you need to in that new position, you're doing so with knowledge of your past job and your past experience, but also kind of having surveyed the new landscape and going in with eyes wide open.
So incredible. Such great advice. Listening is such an imperative tool that if we spend more of our time listening and less of our time talking, I think we all might be able to feel and actually be more understood than we are right now. I remember something else Allison said. I was sharing this with a girlfriend who was struggling with relationships this weekend. And what Allison had said is that sometimes women might potentially look at men, or feminine people might look at masculine people, whether you identify as male, female, or other, and they might feel frustrated because they're like, oh, I'm not getting anything deep out of this person. I think it was my friend's husband. And what Allison said is, you want, when you ask somebody masculine, if you're coming from a feminine place, a question, this is going to sound tough, ladies, and people who are in your feminine energy, count to 120 before you say the next thing. You heard me right, 120, that is 2 full minutes. So the next time that you ask somebody who's in their masculine and you're in your feminine, whether you're male, female, other, that doesn't matter. I'm just saying in general as an energy, that you count to 120 when you ask someone in their masculine energy something and give them the space to go within that they need to give a response rather than just interrupting them. So that was one of the most brilliant things I remember learning about communication.
Yeah, and I one thing I'll say, I, as you all know, I identify as strong as a feminist, but so often the people, when you're waiting that 2 minutes and there's that awkward silence, don't underestimate that. If that person at the 60-second mark starts getting real, that you may have done the greatest gift for that person that anyone will do that week, because they might be on the brink of burnout themselves and not tied in, not connected. And giving someone the space to get out what I would refer to as a poison, or more and more I call it the garbage, and just dump it out and be, and not from an anger place, but just from a place where they're feeling heard, is maybe the greatest gift we can give one another to avoid burnout as a collective.
I think one more thing too is, if you have burned out, or if you're experiencing it right now, to give yourself a lot of grace around that. it is nothing to be ashamed of. It is something that we are all experiencing or have experienced. And personally for me, my burnout was the turning point that I needed in both my personal life and my professional life to truly find what my purpose was, what I enjoy, and what I needed to, as you said, fill that cup and to find pieces of my life that were not just based on work, but were based on working towards something I loved. So grace, I think, has so much to do with both our personal and professional development. So just be kind to yourself, because it's not easy, man. We've had a rough few years. Like, and we're all in this together. And we're also, again, just, we are all a work in progress.
Boom. It's not easy, work in progress. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Elizabeth, if people want to connect with you, would you recommend LinkedIn? Or if they want to find out about the Good Advice Company, where would they go?
Sure. LinkedIn is probably the best place for me. I'm most active on there and most authentic on there as well. If you ever just need truth to power. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at Good Advice Co. And my company's website is www.thegoodadvicecompany.com.
Nice. You grabbed that website. That's smart.
I know. I can't believe it was available. It was like the universe like made it happen. It was wild.
It's gotta be Elizabeth Rosenberg. It was waiting for you. I love it. Mm-hmm. That is manifestation right there, my friend. That's pretty cool. I can't believe it. I'll be so lucky.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Rosenberg has been here with us today on Get Yourself the Job from the Good Advice Company. You've been tuning in to Get Yourself the Job here on LA Talk Radio. And if you want to catch the recap of this episode, share it with a friend. We always appreciate it. Love to hear your thoughts. If you want to rate us on iTunes, we deeply appreciate it and certainly work with your feedback. You can find us on iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your listening. And if you are going through burnout right now, we wish you strength and the wisdom to know that there are things you can do. There are people willing to listen. And first, it's most important that you listen to yourself. So wishing you a great rest of your week and lots of love.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.